I know we often talk about big pyramid, but can we talk about big wireless for a second? If after years of overpaying for wireless, you're finally fed up from those wildly high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that actually cost more in the long run, why not switch to Mint Mobile and keep your money where you can see it? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you from big wireless with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number, along with all of your contacts. It's a snap to switch. So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/aftermlm. That's mintmobile.com/aftermlm. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. It's February, which means Valentine's Day and my birthday are right around the corner. It might be the shortest month, but it's the best month. And if you're anything like me, you want the look and feel of luxury without the price tag. And y'all know, Quince is my one-stop shop for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Be still, my little Pisces heart. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices that are totally within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, a favorite of me and Mr. F for sure, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. And then my newest obsession, their stylish packing cubes that make prepping for a weekend getaway a breeze. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with safe, ethical, and responsible factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, meaning that you can look and feel like $1 million without breaking the bank, something that definitely doesn't happen in MLM. Give yourself the luxury that you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates, as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros, we've got a great episode for you today. We're back to our MLM roots, and we're going to be talking about Young Living Essential Oils. That company fits right in with our health and wellness spotlight this year, and this story is great. It's all about toxic chemicals and identity and COVID and gamification, and I think you're going to love it. But I wanted to give a heads up, it is Young Living. We do talk about Gary Young, and we do talk very, very briefly about his child that passed. So just wanted to give that heads up for any trigger warning. It's so minuscule, but it is in there. And for anybody hearing this going, wait, what about that? We've done other episodes. Please Google it. Check it out if you don't know the story before listening to this, just to have kind of a heads up about what happened. But yes, we do talk about Gary Young and some of his more dirty misgivings. I actually have two listener submissions today to read to you guys. The first is a warning, and the second is a little mini dive that we'll get into. So I want to say thank you to Morgan for sending this to me. It says, new-to-me pack going door-to-door in South Salem. So if you guys are in South Salem, heads up. It is a post from Reddit. Was door-knocked by a dude trying to push private school vouchers. Wouldn't say who he was with at first. And then, when I got him to say who the group was, refused to say anything. I got that he was connected to a school, lived in Polk County. He wasn't originally from the area. And from his practiced evasion and the graphic design of the non-information page of the organization, I'm convinced that it's a front for the Delphin School, which is the Scientologists. This is a tactic they've used elsewhere. Start a pack to get around suspicion of Scientology, and getting involved peripherally in right causes as the, quote, rational alternative. Anyways, Marion Polk First is out, looking to push-pull you, with zero policy and candidate support. Just know that they're probably Scientologists and looking to get you to send your kid to a boarding school. So heads up to anybody in South Salem or anybody that's experienced this. This could be connected to Scientology. I have heard other things very similar to this, so I do believe that this is legit. Just be careful, y'all. The other thing that I was sent was an email from a listener that said, I see that you research MLMs. My wife joined Partner Co. because she followed several people in MLM companies, specifically Rodin and Fields, for years and saw them achieve quick success. They encouraged her to join, claiming she could reach the top by consistently posting about the magic drops twice a day on Facebook. That was their system for success. She pre-purchased the magic drops and made some money initially, but soon realized that customers weren't repurchasing. The people thriving in the company seemed to be those who already had a following from Rodin and Fields, and she trusted them, not from posting twice a day. It's frustrating because she truly believed in these women and their advice. Now we've even had family members block her because of how often she's posting. Have you looked into this company and its products? First of all, thank you for the email. And if any of you out there have similar questions, by all means, email me and we can do one of these in the housekeeping. But let's pull it up and see what I can find. So I head to partner.co, which is the website, and immediately it says your wellness partner, which is giving me some red flags. I go to the sitemap at the bottom of the page. I don't see anything about the DSA, which is usually our first indication that this is an MLM. So I'm going to click this tab that says get paid, because that seems kind of MLM-y to me. It says turn your passion into profit, and then asks you to watch a video, which is very, very MLM-y. The future of partnership marketing is what it says. Your passion for wellness can be what inspires others to take control of their health and live better longer. Become a brand partner, not just to share products, but to build a side business that seamlessly fits and enhances your everyday life. Yet another red flag, another breadcrumb. How it works. Use your personalized link. That's another one. To share science-backed wellness products with your friends, family, and followers and get paid for every purchase. 1. Share products. Harness your passion for wellness to make an impact in people's lives. 2. Earn commissions. Get paid weekly with the number one voted compensation plan in the industry. Ding, 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 ding. There we go. Compensation plan is very MLM. And 3. Get rewarded. Earn luxury travel, events, recognition, and experiences. Now, without me seeing the compensation plan or an income disclosure statement, I'm going to say that this is giving me massive, major MLM vibes. I'm going to click the Learn More button and see what else we can learn. It sends me to a video of the compensation plan, which, again, another red flag. If I scroll down a little bit more, it says work for yourself, not by yourself, which is 100% an MLM thing. When your team works together, your efforts combined so your business works for you. We give you the tools and support. You turn your aspirations into reality on your own terms at your own pace. All of this to me, aside from me finding the MLM aspect of this, which they're very good at hiding, by the way, everything else is screaming MLM. When I click get started today, it sends me to an enrollment page that says, welcome to Partner Co. Become an independent business owner, what we call a brand partner, in 5 easy steps. And here we have it. 1, connect with your sponsor. 2, choose your products. 3, add digital business tools. 4, subscribe and save. 5, check out. And when I click the shop link, I am 100% convinced and sure that this is absolutely an MLM. Because one of the things that they sell is Tahitian Noni juice, which is one of my favorite MLMs to make fun of. So I know that Tahitian Nani Juice is an MLM, and seeing it here on their website convinces me and reassures me that yes, in fact, partner.co is an MLM. But what it looks like is it's kind of like an MLM conglomerate. It looks like they have a multitude of different products and different companies within it. I'm not sure if there were other MLMs and they kind of all got swept up, but again, that's very MLM-y. 100%, I'm going to say that this is an MLM, and if you are trying to avoid MLMs, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably trying to do that, I would avoid PartnerCo and any of their subsidiaries and any of the things that link to this. 100% an MLM. Thank you for your email so that we could talk about this on the podcast and help even more people to avoid this company. If you guys have questions about whether something is or isn't an MLM, or you want your email read on the show and do these little live mini dives really quick, shoot me an email, ask me your questions. If you see anything like the Scientology thing, or there's anything that you want me to sort of shout from the rooftops on the podcast about scams, cults, frauds, or MLMs that you're seeing in your circle, please shoot me a message and we'll get to your email as fast as we possibly can. Other than that, enjoy this episode. Like I said at the beginning, it is fantastic. And we'll see you next week. We got more Amway coming up. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. I would love to welcome to the show our guest, Samantha. We're going to be talking about Young Living and her experience in that MLM today.
Hi.
Welcome, Samantha. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. So I know you and I talked a little bit before we hit record, so I have kind of an idea of your story, but everybody listening doesn't. So let's start at the beginning. You joined Young Living in 2018. You didn't last very long, but we're going to talk about that. I want to know, because there's essential oils all over the place, and there's multiple essential oil MLMs. Why Young Living and why essential oils?
My upline, we really hit it off whenever we first met, and she talked about oils all the time. She smelled like oils all the time, and I thought she smelled amazing. And so we really started to talk about toxic chemicals in the house and, you know, they're in your shampoo and the cleaners and all that kind of stuff. You know, after months of kind of getting to know her, I decided to purchase the starter kit. And, you know, it comes with the diffuser and like 11 or 12 different oils and all this stuff. And I was stoked. I was so excited because I really bought into the seed to seal slogan that they use. I really bought into that. I really thought it was pure oils that I was getting and it was the best one out there. I really bought into it mainly because of wanting to have a toxic-free home. And I thought that was kind of the best thing to do for my family at the time. And so I was really excited to have it when I first got it.
Yeah, that's incredibly interesting and right on point, because this year we're focusing a lot more on like the health and the wellness and sort of those health claims that MLMs make and the toxins and the chemicals and all of those fear-mongering words. And so this episode is so great because we're going to talk about all this stuff. But I want to go back to even before you even joined, when you met your upline. How did you meet her?
Church.
Church, of course.
Right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, yes. It is. It's a breeding ground for prospecting, and I hate even thinking about it, but church was a big gold mine.
And was she just a woman at church that you had never talked to before? Or was she new in church and you were just like, you smell so good, what are you wearing? Like, how did that interaction even happen?
She was in the kids department and she was volunteering and my kids were there too. And so honestly, we just kind of hit it off and she was really cool. Very much. She had like 3 kids under the age of 3. And so she was known as this, you know, super mom. And so she's got the oils and all this stuff to help her with everything, anything and everything with kids. I really believed. I was really into it.
And this is 2018, which is like, I don't know, it feels like the height of all of this stuff happening.
I think so.
Everybody was getting into that, right? I remember because I was very, very early in my anti-MLM advocacy, but I just remember being like, everything is a chemical and getting so angry.
Right.
Toxins and chemicals. And I was like, everything is a chemical.
Yes. Gosh. I mean, I even changed my mattress to, you know, natural, like down to that. It was, I mean, I truly bought into it all.
Wow.
All of it.
Okay. So you also mentioned a diffuser. And again, I'm going to say that I remember this because there was this one woman in town when I left LuLaRoe, and she loved LuLaRoe. And she heard through the grapevine of the small town I lived in that I had quit and that I had a garage full of clothes. And she asked me to come over. She gave me her sizes. She goes, put together some outfits for me. Can you bring them over? I want to shop from my home. I said, that's fine, whatever. But she was diffusing oil in her house. And I was like, what is that? She's like, oh, it's essential oils. I mean, her house smelled like essential oils. Like it smelled like the oil booth at like Oktoberfest. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're just like, whoa, welcome to my home. I was like, what are you? So, but yes, but now that was in like 2017, 2018. So again, I'm sure there are people just like nodding their heads going, I was diffusing oils at that time too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure.
Do you know if the kit still comes with the diffuser?
I believe it does. You know, they have different starter kits that are different prices and stuff, but I honestly haven't been on my account, obviously, for years now. And I know whenever I was in it, you could choose different diffusers. And it was like $160 to start. That was like the base starter kit with a diffuser. And then it went up to, you know, 200 something to get like this really expensive diffuser. And it was wooden and had a glass globe on it. And I eventually bought that later on because I just had to have everything. Had to have it all. But I'm pretty sure that they still come with diffusers.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioning the diffuser and me thinking about that, I haven't really seen as much diffusing and diffuser propaganda on social media as I did back then. So I'm curious. I'm sure I'll get an email about it, but you guys let me know if people are still doing that or not.
Yeah.
So you meet this patchouli smelling woman at church.
It was patchouli. Yep.
Of course it was. Mm-hmm. It's always patchouli.
It's super hippie. Yes, it was patchouli. You know, most of the oils smelled great. No denying the oils did smell really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I usually get like my oils at like Whole Foods or Sprouts or something like that. But yeah, I mean, they smell good. I've put oils in my bathtub before. We used to make our own bath bombs. Like they're essential oils. They smell like plants and plants smell great. Nothing against people who use essential oils or who like the smell of them. I think they're fantastic. It's the pyramid scheme that we have a problem with.
Right. Right. That's the downfall. I mean, I still have oils today. I sold my whole bulk of them, which I don't know if I'm supposed to do, but I did anyway. And I kept a couple of them that I truly love, that I really, truly believe that they help with some stuff. And I won't obviously buy from Young Living again, but if I ever run out, then, you know, I'll probably buy them again somewhere else.
Yeah. I always have like tea tree, peppermint, and eucalyptus like on hand always because I like the way they smell.
Yeah, right. They really are. I like them a lot, but I only have probably a handful left that I keep.
I know because I've followed and I've watched people in Young Living and I've seen them online and seen their setup. Did you have one of those wall racks with like all the oils in it and it was like totally full?
Oh, yeah. I have pictures. I had them custom made to hold my diffuser in it. So it was kind of like a diamond because it was huge. But in the middle, I could put my diffuser in it and then my oils all the way around it. Yeah. I sure did. And it said like oily mama on it.
Stop.
Oh, I'm telling you, I was so deep into it.
Hashtag oily life. Oh, wow. Okay. So let's talk about what it was like those first couple months, right? You joined. That's the best time in an MLM. I know that like people, and maybe that's why people MLM hop so often. It's like the first 3 months, right? You're getting your introductory kit. So it's like Christmas. You're getting all this brand new stuff that you didn't think you needed, but you absolutely need it and more. You're meeting all the people. It's exciting. That's when your friends and family are going to support you, is at the very beginning when they're like, look, let me just get this out of the way. Those are the sort of the best couple first months. So what did those months look like for you in Young Living?
I was about 8 months or so in it. So really the first few months was probably half of that. I went really hard. I hit the ground running whenever I first started, because honestly, when I first bought it, I didn't realize you could sell them. Honestly, truly, I didn't realize that you could do anything with it. And that's whenever she had kind of told me, you know, you could sell them and so that you can get them for free. So I hit the ground running and I really sold a lot in the beginning.
I think it's really funny how you, and people can't see us, but I can see you. And when you said get them for free, you did air quotes.
Yeah.
Because it really is. You don't get them for free. That's the interesting thing. The way that I always think of like MLM is it's basically like you're working for this rebate check, because like you get a little percentage back on everything you spend. And it's so funny because that is, especially with MLMs where things don't cost a ton. I know some of those oils like Blue Tansy and stuff are like, meh. But a lot of the oils are just a few dollars, are really affordable. The same with like Scentsy waxes or like paparazzi jewelry or anything that's, you know, like under $10. Future Roberta here, showing my whole ass on how long I've been at an MLM and how much inflation has affected it that I didn't even know about. As Kayla was editing this episode, she sent me a text message at this exact moment in the episode to let me know. She says, okay, I have to tell you this. In this episode, you're comparing the price of Young Living oils to Scentsy and Paparazzi products, and you even say that most of the oils cost only a few dollars. Maybe you address it later on in the episode, but no, there's not a single oil under $10 on Young Living's website. They've raised their prices so much since I was in. I just checked the website, and their cheapest oil is $17.45 for the small bottle. Wild. She goes, I just looked it up, and Blue Tansy is $140. A small bottle of rose oil is $283. And the cheapest ones are pine, lemon, and orange. For the slightly bigger bottle of orange, it's like $17. But yikes, they used to sell for like $8.50. So I just wanted to interject here because the prices have astronomically gone up in price, almost exponentially. And I just wanted to give you guys a heads up and say that I didn't know that. I thought essential oils weren't that overpriced. Because literally, like I mentioned, I get mine at like Whole Foods or Sprouts, and they're just a few dollars a bottle. So, wow, $283 for rose oil is astronomical. So thank you, Kayla, for the correction, and back to the episode. If you have young kids like me, a new year is another chance to do all of the amazing things that you didn't get to do the year before. That epic family trip, an incredible themed party, checking off a bucket list item, or dare I say it, another year closer to getting a phone. With the power of phones today, when it was time to get Abby one, I was pretty nervous about it. I have to be chronically online for my job, and I've seen some of the worst when it comes to content that comes across kids' feeds. Luckily, with Gab, there's a less nerve-wracking way. No social media apps, no internet browser, and GPS tracking. Gab devices were built specifically to keep kids and teens safely connected. They are the leader in safe phones and watches for kids, teens, and tweens, and it's easy to see why. As a parent, the Gab Companion app is a lifesaver. With parental controls, message monitoring, safe zones, and usage logs, you can manage their devices and monitor their location without ever having to bother them. And on Abby's watch, focus mode comes in handy when she's prepping and studying for not only school, but all of her extracurriculars too. Right now, Gab is offering $25 off any device with no contract required. Just go to gab.com/MLM to get started. That's Gab, GABB.com/MLM. Gab.com/MLM. Terms and conditions apply. I don't know if you know this or not, but our laundry room is in our basement. It's down a tight flight of stairs that freaks me out even when I'm not taking down heavy loads of dirty clothes with me. Switching out our heavy, big box store size plastic tubs and bottles for our EarthBreeze eco-friendly plastic-free envelopes has eliminated not only extra weight heading down those stairs, but also cuts down on our plastic waste. We are a house that recycles, and you'd think that those bottles would be easily recyclable, but 500 million of them end up in landfills and oceans every single year. That alone is an incredible incentive to switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. It's an easy way to get amazingly clean clothes without all that plastic waste, delivered right to your door. Get 40% off EarthBreeze when you sign up for auto shipments at earthbreeze.com/MLM. That's earthbreeze.com/MLM. They say, like, oh my God, you just have to sell a few and you'll get them for free. It'll pay for itself. That's not what's happening here. You are selling, you're getting a commission, and then instead of taking that commission and putting it in your bank account and paying your bills, you're buying more stuff with it. So it's not really free. Your habit is just sort of paying for itself at this point in terms of how much money you're making. So I always think it's really funny, and the air quotes, I was like, wait a second, I got to mention, like, get it for free, quote, quote, big air quotes there.
Right. It didn't go to my bank account. It went back to buying what the next best thing was, you know, to get. The only thing that saved me was you could claim that as like a small business. And so for taxes, like, that's the only thing that really saved me in spending all that money. I did get checks, I mean, every month. So whenever I first started out those first few months, I did get some money because, like I said, I hit the ground running. I think I ended up having 5 people under me within those 8 months. They had people underneath them. When I first got those few checks, I was like, holy crap. If it's just like a fun side gig, you know, a few $100, like, that's kind of fun money to just do whatever with. But it just went right back into buying products and whatever it is that I just had to have.
So you told me originally when you joined from the patchouli scented woman was that you wanted to get out of this toxic chemical for your children. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like when you're going from a regular house that buys stuff at Target and Walmart to going to this like non-toxic chemical-free lifestyle? What did that look like?
Expensive. Very expensive.
Did you throw everything away and then just replace it with oils?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, no.
And so they started coming out with like shampoo, and they even had their own makeup line that I replaced it with. I mean, they had everything. And Thieves is like, you know, their big branded named oil that they have that's extremely famous that everybody swears by. And so they have like the Thieves cleaner, which I still have, and I still believe that it does pretty well, but it's just my counter cleaner that I use. I still haven't ran out of it. I still have a bottle and a half, I think, left of it because it doesn't take a whole lot, but the Thieves is really what like I kind of bought into. I even thought about this the other day whenever COVID came around. I wasn't really in it, obviously, then. I just remember seeing posts and just thinking about other people using Thieves as kind of like this selling point for COVID. They're like, we have this oil that, you know, can really help, you know, not really cure. I know they couldn't use that word, but can help with symptoms of COVID. And, you know, we're using Thieves all over the house. And I forgot about that till just now. But yeah, I threw away everything in the house, and it was very expensive to replace everything. But I was in it. I was committed to trying to get rid of anything and everything that I thought had toxins and chemicals.
So Thieves, which is named after basically like the grave robbers of biblical times, right?
Right.
And the oils that they would rub on their bodies to not get zombie diseases. What's the blend for this? And what's the story behind it that makes people say like, oh, I'm going to throw away my Pine Sol and my Lysol and my bleach, and I'm going to just get this bottle of oil?
So if I remember, I know it had clove. I feel like tea tree was in there too. Oh gosh. There was some orange in it. I know there's orange. So it was like a mix of 4 or 5 different oils that you know, they put together. And like I said, it's their branded like name that they use for that oil. And you could put it in anything cleaner wise, and it would keep the sick away if you put it in your diffuser and put it on the bottoms of your feet, stuff like that. So
I hear about that, the bottoms of the feet. What's the idea there? It's like a reflexology thing.
So the reflexology, I think, has something to do with like, I guess it could be that. Yeah. There was a chart that we used that had different parts of your feet that would help different parts of your body. So if you rubbed it like on the balls of your feet, it would help your stomach or something like that. I can't remember. But so it was supposed to be stuff like that. And of course, I rubbed thieves on the bottoms of my kids' feet, and I was trying to keep them not sick, keep them healthy.
It's very interesting because I know there's a lot of like biblical stuff behind a lot of the things that they do with the anointing of oils, and how this is a way for like women to be a part of that. I know we talked about that in early episodes on the show. It's very interesting to me because it's like, I don't want to say witchcraft, but that's what it seems like to me, you know, like as somebody who kind of looks into a lot of different things and has a lot of different kind of interesting hobbies. When I hear about these like biblical anointings and we need the oils that the grave robbers use to keep away the sickness and things like that, it's very witchy.
Yeah.
It's very pagan. It's like very natural, like, which seems to be the opposite of whatever the Bible is pushing nowadays. I'm not really sure what team they're on anymore.
Of course, I met her at church, and so I was religious at that time. My upline's upline, which is, she was kind of the matriarch of our
pyramid.
And she would have these parties or these things where we would go and pray and, you know, use the oils to pray and, you know, just stuff like that, where it was very strange. Of course, looking back now, it was very strange. Religion was extremely incorporated with, you know, how they would sell oils and how they would use the oils. And of course, like I said, I met her at church. So that's like a gold mine. You connect with people, especially like I said, frankincense earlier. That's like one of the most famous oils because of the three wise men.
Yeah. Baby Jesus.
Yeah. And then of course, Young Living was supposed to be, and still claims, I guess, as to be a Christian based organization. Those people that really thought of Gary Young being this leader really trickled down far. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that you mentioned Gary, we know that you were in Young Living in 2018, and that's the year that Gary Young died. He died on May 12th, 2018. So I know that he's like the Messiah, the Grand Poobah, the whole shebang, right? In Young Living.
Yeah.
I know you weren't super deep at the time of his passing, but there were people around you that were. So what did Gary's passing look like inside the organization when it happened?
For a lot of people that I knew in the organization, it was very emotional because, like you said, he was this leader that built this empire and was man of God and all this stuff. And so, you know, my upline and of course her upline and of course people that I followed on Instagram and stuff like that, that were, you know, further up, very much they had a lot of posts and videos of saying, you know, if it wasn't for Gary, I wouldn't be here. Or he was a legend, lived such a fabulous life of trying to heal people. And it was very odd for me to look at that because I didn't really feel like it was that big of a deal. But for a lot of people, it was. And I went to the convention convention was in June, I think. So he had just passed. And so that was such a huge deal at convention.
I could hardly imagine. I was going to ask if you had been to conventions, and then I was going to ask you what you thought of Mary and the Boys' opening number, because I've seen a few on the internet.
Right. So Mary came out, you know, and we, of course, freaked out that she was there. There was, of course, a couple of like Royal Crown Diamonds, so the ones that are at top. that did a lot of their speeches and did a lot of their stuff, but it was like a concert. It was kind of like a show. You know, you go to see a show in like Branson, Missouri or something, you know, and that's what it felt like, is that I was like watching a show. And of course we got to dress up and all this stuff, but yeah. So she came out and it was like watching a show.
I've seen some of the videos on YouTube. And for those of you listening who are interested, just pause this real quick and go watch one. Just go watch Mary and the boys, which I believe are their grandsons, sing on the big piano. I think there was fire on one of them and there's like light shows. Like, it's intense. And Mary is Mary Young, Gary Young's, I don't know what number wife. It might have been second. I know he was previously married to the woman whose baby unfortunately passed away. Did anyone ever talk about that? Or if it was brought up, was it shut down real quick? Did you know about that while you were in?
Not while I was in it. No, I had heard it on a different podcast. Anytime I hear a Young Living podcast episode, I listen to it because it just, I shake my head and I'm like, I remember hearing about that after. But if you did speak anything, yeah, bad about Gary, you were the minority in the group for sure, because he was talked about a lot and as a great leader.
Yeah. I mean, most of the stuff he did was fabricated. He like cheated on his wives. I think there was some DV. There's the unfortunate, the infant that passed away and his hand, and just a lot of really bad, gross stuff. And it's all public and it's very easy to find. We've done an episode on it. But it's still interesting to me how the people inside are like, no, it's not. It's very much like you see that cult thing. You're like, that's not what we saw. That's not what it is. That's not real.
Right. No, it's very strange. And you honestly, whatever story that your upline tells you about the company, I mean, that's the story that you stick with. It's kind of like whenever you meet somebody and they introduce their name, like that's the name that you're going to connect the whole time you know them, even if somebody calls them by a nickname. So it's kind of like that. You kind of believe what it is that your upline tells you about the company. And very, yeah.
It's interesting that the one convention you went to is probably the most intense convention they've ever had, because it was right after Gary's death.
Right. I mean, it was sad because there was a lot of remembering him and stuff. It was probably, yeah, the most, ironically, the most intense one, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oftentimes people will tell me that convention is a turning point for them. It's either the turning point that makes them get reinvigorated to, you know, give it their all and stay in another year, or it's that this was not what I was hoping it would be. I think I'm going to leave. I know you only stayed in for a little bit and convention was kind of like smack dab right in the middle of this. So how did convention impact your business and decision to stay in Young Living?
It impacted it. I was, like you said, reinvigorated. After convention, I was very much into it still. It just helped my hustle. I, you know, listened to all the speeches and bought all the books because I really initially, I wanted to stay home with my kids. My littlest one had not gone to school yet. And so that was a really big selling point to me, was being able to make enough money to stay home. I really was like, I really want this business to work. I really want it to be the income that it needs to be for me to stay home. I was going through grad school at the time too. So on top of that and having, you know, kind of almost a brand new baby, it was a lot. After convention, it made me hustle a lot more. So it definitely wasn't a negative turning point for me. It was the opposite.
You mentioned having a team of like 4 or 5 people. Where did you meet those people?
This is probably the most embarrassing and disappointing part of this story, because it makes me sick to my stomach thinking about it. But, you know, when you're so deep into it, you have your blinders on and all you see is money or the next rank that you're trying to get into. And so meeting these people, some of them, they were people that, so I had, you know, the 4 or 5 team members underneath me, and then they had some also. And so it was nonstop work, but I met them either through church or I had gone to school with them. I never actually did any family members, which was kind of odd compared to a lot of other people. So yeah, there were people that I either went to school with, I went to church with. I think it was some people that I would put under somebody else that I had met through my upline. It was kind of like I had to structure my rankings or my pyramid below me. But honestly, meeting these people and talking to them was, at the moment, it was fine with me to kind of fake being friends with them. And it was awful. And I would really try to talk to them every day, really be interested in their life. It was just awful. I feel sick to my stomach whenever I think about it, because they were just people that either were trying to make a living themselves, and I felt like disappointed in them if they didn't do well or if they didn't buy the stuff that I wanted them to buy. Because like I said, I was really hustling. I really was just, like I said, with my blinders on, and I was just looking ahead of time and trying to get to a point where I could stay home, and it didn't matter who I hurt or didn't matter what kind of fake relationships that I had with people. That's just what my end goal was. And like I said, it's embarrassing and disheartening and disappointing to think about it.
That commodification of friendships and people is a really hard one. When you get out and you start to realize like what it was and what you did, and you're right, there are blinders. You don't just see people as like, oh my gosh, you'd be great at selling leggings or oil or lipstick. It's like, oh my gosh, if you join, like it's an extra $100 on my next check.
Yeah.
And $100 is not worth it. Like, it's just not worth it to have to hound people and do that sort of stuff. I totally feel that. I totally remember that feeling of being like, are you going to buy something this month? Or like trying to convince people to get enough points to make sure that they qualify, because they're the closest person that needs to qualify. And if they're not going to qualify, you're going to have to convince somebody else to qualify. It's just so much work.
Right.
And I think anybody that's in it and has been through it, like, understands that panic. But also anybody who's had a regular job or been a regular manager or like done anything else also realizes that you don't actually have to do that kind of stuff in a real job. This like commodification and like panic force buying stuff is really just like exclusive to pyramid schemes and scams.
Yeah. It's, you know, at the end of the month, was you really hustled hard at the end of the month. And that panic is real. If you didn't have enough points, or if you were trying to reach the next rank, you would sometimes I'd dish out my own money just to get the PV up so that I would make sure that I'm staying in the rank or moving up to the next rank. And then, of course, trying to get people to buy stuff and them trying to make it to the next rank, which would help me, you know, and I would use so many different incentives. I would buy so many different things, like books and roller balls, like to make my own oils and stuff like that, and like give them away. And there were so many things that I would try to use as incentives to, you know, try to get my PV up every month and make sure that I hit that next rank or I hit a goal.
You just got to hit these echelons. And then it's like selling magazines in middle school, right?
Right.
You sell 10 magazines, you get an ice cream social. You sell 20 magazines, you're getting a skateboard. You sell 100 magazines, you're going to Greece.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It feels like that to me. Like every time I see these, like, I just need to earn $10,000 more to get the extra bag. It's so gamified. It's so ridiculous. And I think we don't see it when we're in it, because it feels so exciting and like a game. And we can't step outside of it and watch it from the wings and go, this is not going to end well.
Right. Yeah.
It's this kind of like desperation that reeks in a totally different way than like actual other desperation. It's this like, I don't know, there's a lot of Schadenfreude and a lot of like, oh, honey, you did this to yourself. But also there's like sympathy there and there's empathy as well. It's difficult. And I don't know how to feel about it other than I just go, oh, this is so MLM-y. Like everything about this just like is reeking and dripping and oozing of MLM.
Looking back, obviously hindsight is 2020.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Are you still quoting 30-year-old movies? Have you said cool beans in the past 90 days? Do you think Discover isn't widely accepted? If this sounds like you, you're stuck in the past. Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. And every time you make a purchase with your card, you automatically earn cash back. Welcome to the now. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
And looking back, I still cannot believe being pulled into that. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty smart person, but it can get anybody. I mean, I think now there's a turning point now where there's a lot more anti-MLM education. I feel like maybe it's not as bad anymore, but I really bought into that and I still can't believe that I fell for that. Yeah, it really can get people that you don't realize what you're doing until you're in it.
One of the things you said when I asked you what it was like to change everything out is you said it was expensive. So I understand that buying things goes towards your PV every month and you're like, okay, I'll buy that next month because I need that. But I think the thing that's crazy, and it happened to me too, is instead of just purchasing in addition to the quote, negative products. I learned that from Amway. In purchasing in addition to the negative products, right? Like, here's this lip gloss, but I'm going to buy the other lip gloss too. You don't do that. You throw away the good stuff.
Right.
You're like, I don't need this Pine Sol. I don't need this Benefit. I don't need this NARS. I've got Artistry or whatever, right? You throw away the good stuff. When I was in LuLaRoe, you guys, I threw away all my jeans. Okay. That's wackadoodle. And then guess what? A little bit after I left LuLaRoe, they started selling jeans.
Oh.
You know, whatever. But I threw that away, right? So I threw away the good stuff to replace it with the MLM stuff, just like you did, just like Amway does. Get the big X's, the negative products, toss them out. But then when you leave, now this stuff that you replaced all your good stuff that you threw away with is just stuff that makes you feel bad about yourself. So you can't wait to get rid of it. But then you have to buy back all the good stuff you threw away again.
Right. And thank goodness at that time I was going through grad school and everything, but I had a full-time job. I wasn't just, you know, and my husband at the time had a full-time job. And so it wasn't, we were solely, you know, we quit jobs to do this or anything like that. Thank God I didn't do that. So we had expendable income to use on it, but it still could have been used elsewhere.
It's just a very interesting phenomenon to me that we throw away the good stuff. We buy the pyramid scheme stuff. We bust our ass. We realize it's a scam. We leave. And then we're embarrassed by the pyramid scheme stuff. So now we have to throw that away and then replace it again. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's just consumerism, just this blatant churning machine of purchasing.
Right. It's, you know, you say embarrassing too. My husband now, we've been together for like 4 years and I've talked about Young Living like one time. I think he knows that I was in a pyramid scheme, but we never talk about it because it's so embarrassing to say that I was in a pyramid scheme or MLM. So a couple of things too that I wanted to mention was, you know, whenever you are in this, you try to do like the picture perfect posts and videos and stuff. You would, you know, I remember doing a video that I was like crying, and I make fun of people who cry on social media. Now I look back and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did that. But I was like telling my whole like life story because it was just traumatic. And I was trying to piece that together with oil somehow and leadership and stuff like that. My upline, she was way more into it than I was. And I was into it pretty big, but she shaved her head.
What?
I'm not joking. This is not a lie. So she was like, I'm starting new. I'm a brand new person. I'm not joking. She shaved her head to signify
new year, new me.
A new person. Whenever she did that, that was probably one of my first red flags, because I remember it was towards the end whenever I was getting out. It was pretty traumatic to see.
It's just because I'm a hairstylist, so I understand that like a lot of things like medications and things will come out in your hair, right? It happens more often than people know. That's a lot of the reason why they'll do hair tests for drug, because it shows in your hair. So I'm interested if like she was feeling like this is years and years of trauma and years of, you know, not clean living, and we got to get rid of all of this, if it was symbolic in that way for her.
A side note, I totally had forgot that I wrote this down about her shaving her head. But I think that whenever you're in that so deep, you want people to buy in and believe what you're doing is real. And so I think that that was just such a huge step in trying to show people that this is a real thing. And I believe in it so much that I'm going to shave my head and become this new person.
That's like super commitment.
For sure. And I wish I was lying. I'm definitely, she shaved her head.
It's like one step below getting the MLM tattoo on your skin.
I haven't heard that one yet, but.
Oh. I've seen so many tattoos of people that get their MLM tattooed on them. I did a TikTok video on it one time. It was wild.
Oh my gosh.
And there's more since. I've seen more since that video came out. So yeah, it's a thing. So the shaving of the head was a red flag. But what was like the final straw that made you go like, I gotta get out of this place?
Yeah. So the last month that I was in it, I was hustling really hard because the last few months I had been trying to reach a certain rank. I was, I don't know, like one starter kit or something away, or I don't remember how far away I was for the end of the month to reach that rank. But my husband at the time was like the last day, like bought something from me. Like he was trying to be nice and bought, you know, something from me so I could reach that. And I finally reached that rank. And when I did, I honestly just was so exhausted from handling everybody's team to talking to everybody every day, trying to have meetings with my team all the time. I was so exhausted and just so done with it because I tried to reach that, you know, for so long. And then the next rank that you had to go to, I was like, how am I going to get to that one? And it was just too much. It was just too much. It was a lot. And, you know, our upline would used to have these parties that you had to qualify for. And they were like, you know, she was kind of glorified because she was, you know, a diamond, or I can't remember which rank. She was one of the top three. But, you know, I glorified her because she had made this amount of money every month. And I make that amount more now. And at that time, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be just like her. I want to be in this rank and all this other stuff. But everything I did just revolved around trying to get to the next rank or make more money.
The hamster wheel became too much.
Yeah, very much so. And I honestly, getting out of it was, I'm a very much a people pleaser, and getting out of it was very hard for me. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And, you know, it was weird because about the time that I got out of it, my own upline got out of it about a month or two later. And so we had kind of started to see how hard it really was and how much we weren't getting back. And so, you know, I left and I just kind of had that conversation with her, and I just said, I, you know, can't do that anymore. And then her upline, the one that we glorified, I'm not joking when I say she probably tried to contact me at least 10 times because that's one of her legs. And so I had a team underneath me. So if I backed out, you know, she would potentially lose that leg. So she had to rearrange and call or, you know, do all that stuff to rearrange everybody getting underneath other people. She did. She tried really hard to get me back on track and stuff, but I was just done. It was too much for me to handle.
When you have a big leg and even four or five people that have a couple of people underneath them is a decently good sized leg in an MLM, right? Because you're hitting a specific rank. And a lot of the ranks in the pyramid above you have to have a certain amount of certain ranks underneath them. And, you know, triple star emerald princess diamond is not an easy rank to hit. So if you've got one, you want to keep them. Because if that triple emerald space ranger, whatever, like left, all of the people underneath them, instead of staying as a leg, they kind of like fill in like a Plinko chip and they just kind of float up into these empty spaces. And it kind of almost destroys the leg entirely. Things move around and it's not the same as it was.
Yeah. You get a new upline and...
Yeah. Well, it can go into somebody who already has a leg, who's already a qualified leg. And you're like, no, don't put it there. I don't need that there with her because she's good. I need those people over here. So it's really, really difficult. And that's, I think, when things like that start to happen in legs that don't understand, like, just how everything works, because that's kind of what was happening with me as well. I was like, but if this person leaves, then everything gets destroyed. And I work so hard for this and I don't understand. We got to keep this person. That's when you start to go, oh, wait a second. This is weird. This is not how a regular business works. The fact that you're trying to convince me because as a figurehead, I'm more important than the people underneath me. Why would it matter? But it does matter in a pyramid. It doesn't matter in other places, but it matters in a pyramid. In a regular job, if you're the manager and you're like, I don't want to work at Target anymore, and you leave, they just hire a new manager and they put them right in that spot. Just plug and play. In an MLM, that's not what happens. It floods. Oh, there's an open space. Everything floods and fills in. And, you know, that's one of the things when people are like, oh, everything's a pyramid. And I'm like, no, it's not. Because a pyramid will collapse. Even if one small load-bearing brick is not there, it will collapse in itself and implode. And you have to rebuild. That doesn't happen in a regular business. You just put another manager in or you just get another sales team.
That's why I was very strategic with my leg. Because I would meet somebody online, because there were some people that I just met online on Facebook through a post and somebody's friend of a friend. And so I would tell like one of my leaders or one of my, you know, teammates, I would say, hey, take this person, you know, have her sign up underneath you because you need to rank up too, because that's going to help me. And I surpassed my upline on ranks. And of course, that did help her. But imagine what it does to your morale and your disappointing yourself and stuff like that too, because, you know, you have this team. And if I had somebody that surpassed me in my rank, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Or, you know, I'm not working hard enough to, you know, even my own teammate below me is passing me. And that was really kind of sad too.
You know, MLMers often use it as a selling point. Like, you can outrank your upline. It's not a pyramid scheme.
Right.
But I feel like outranking your upline kind of proves that it is a pyramid scheme. Because in a real business, if you were outperforming somebody, you would get a promotion. You would be made manager of another department or, you know, be put somewhere else and get this promotion and recognition. And in a pyramid scheme, it causes people to feel insecure about themselves. Like, what am I doing wrong? You shouldn't feel that way. You should be happy for your coworker. Oh my God, you got a promotion. That's incredible. But instead you're like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? Am I not working hard enough? It's just weird when you really look at it like that, from like the inner workings of like how a business works or how a team works in a real business and not a pyramid scheme. You can see how different it really, really, truly is. Wow. Well, so you left. You just decided I can't do this anymore.
Yep, I left and, you know, like I said, my upline tried so hard to keep me. I was completely done. I'm one of those people that if I have a goal, that's what I'm going to do. But when I'm done, I am done. And when I was done with Young Living, I threw away all my, it didn't matter if I had like three or four copies that I was going to give to somebody. I threw away all of my stuff. I kept the oils because I did feel like I liked the oils. But I mean, the emotions and oils book that is out there, everything. I threw away rollerballs. I threw away the makeup. And of course, you know, I switched back to, like you were saying earlier, I switched back to all of the stuff that I originally had thrown out. It just, yeah, I was so done with it. So done with it. And, you know, I was fixing to graduate grad school. And in my mind, I was like, this is just what I need to focus on, really. It was just taking too much time. It was, you know, they say that you can be a stay-at-home mom and have your own business, but gosh, it felt like I was hustling all the time and it was taking up a lot of time.
So now, 5-6 years later, even maybe longer than that, what is that?
I know.
6 years? About 6 years, 7 years almost. You have a new relationship and a new husband. You've got healthy kids that, even though they have toxins in their life, they're totally fine.
They're totally fine.
They love chemicals now, by the way. They love them.
They're totally fine.
They're totally fine. They're healthy and thriving and doing great. You graduated. You got your advanced degree. You've got a great job that makes more money than your upline was making.
Right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I never speak of it ever.
Your husband's going to love this episode. Are you going to let him listen to it?
He doesn't know I'm doing this. So
he doesn't.
I'm telling you, we don't talk about it. Like, I just never bring it up. And I know I've told him like one time, but it's just never something that we ever talk about. So I just told him I was going to be on a call at 11. And so he doesn't know that I'm doing this. So he's going to, I'm still trying to decide if I wanted to, cause he doesn't listen to podcasts or anything. I'm still trying to decide if I tell him like, hey, this is what I did, or I just not, I don't know, but I don't talk about it. I'm doing fine. I'm a licensed therapist now. So I really honestly, like, I think that that would be such a cool thing to be, you know, help people when they get out of a cult-like experience, you know, to help them heal. I haven't ran across any clients that have done that yet, but I think that would be really cool to have one. But yeah, I don't talk about it.
That's funny, because that's one of the main topics my boyfriend and I talk about.
Really?
Is MLMs. It just comes up a lot. We make a lot of jokes, I think. He's going to appreciate this little shout out right here about his MLM jokes. Well, are you ready to do some rapid fire questions with me?
Ooh, yes. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. This has been such a fun chat, and I appreciate all of the fun that we've had and the laughs that we've made. I know I asked everybody, I said, do you guys like the funny episodes? And most people like the true story episodes, but I kind of like the true story episodes when they're all so funny.
Yeah.
And I think this one was a good one.
Oh, good.
All right, Samantha, give me one word that encompasses how you feel about MLMs.
Disgusting.
Give me a piece of advice to the oily mamas out there who are maybe kind of feeling like, maybe this MLM is a little weird, and they're listening and they want to know what you think.
Really dig deep into the cost analysis of what you're doing and if it benefits you, and really make the smart and educated decision after you do some research, because it's not what it looks like on the outside. And once you start getting deeper into it, you start to see that. So I would just do my research.
What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
You know, I want to say Young Living just because I was in it, but I had never heard Amway until you. And so, yeah, no, I had never heard of Amway. And so I feel like just because that's like the biggest, I'm starting to realize it was like the biggest one, I guess I would have to say that. Or, oh, what's it called? The paparazzi jewelry is probably another one, because I feel like, how can you make, I don't know. I feel like there's no way to make money with that. $5 jewelry.
You gotta sell a lot of costume jewelry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe maybe that's still a thing, but I don't hardly wear jewelry at all. So, yeah.
What is the hardest lesson that you learned during your time with Young Living?
The hardest lesson I learned was to really be unique to people and not try to sell them into a lie and being, quote, fake to people, because it, in the long run, it really makes you feel yucky.
And then a positive takeaway from your time in MLM.
A positive tip, I would say probably work ethic. I mean, I think I had a good one before, but you know how to hustle and you know how to really work for your benefit. I think that really kind of showed me how to not do side hustles. So, yeah, I think that was a positive.
I always love when the positive takeaway is like, I learned what not to do. Because that was such a mess.
Right. It's like your old relationship. Like, I know now what not to do.
Right. I see a red flag immediately now.
Right.
Like, that's a red flag we're going to be talking about right now. Well, thank you so much, Samantha, for sharing your story, coming on the show. And just, we love a Young Living episode and we love a health and wellness episode. Thank you for helping us get the conversation started this year on that topic.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our triple emerald princess of robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in Life After MLM. See you next time, Hunts.